Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
So there was a man. Some of you are going to look at me funny because I never do this. But there was a man, and he had a preacher, a doctor, and a lawyer. This isn't my joke. I got it from somebody else. But it works for this morning. And before he saw his death coming, he was sick. Before he died, he went to each of his doctor, his preacher, and his lawyer, and he gave them each $30,000. And he made a request to each of them. Will you please put this on top of my casket before they fill the hole? Throw it in. And of course, his understanding is that he's hoping it'll go with him. So if he gets his preacher, his lawyer, and his doctor to do this, he'll have $90,000 going with him to wherever he's going. Right? Well, the day comes for his funeral, and faithfully these three men show up, and they actually ride together for the funeral. It's an odd request, so they decide they're going to do it together, and the preacher comes to the hole, and he tosses some money in, and the other two men do too, and they get in the car after the funeral and go home. And the preacher, he's just filled with conviction. He needs to tell somebody what he did. So he says, I only threw in 20,000. I kept 10 for myself and for the ministry I'm running. We're on the edge right now. And so I rationalized it. I didn't put all of it in, but I threw 20,000 in. And then the doctor begins shaking his head, kind of the same way with shame. And he was like, I only threw 10 in. We're starting a clinic and I'm going to use the 20 that I kept for myself to start the clinic. And the lawyer proudly says, well, I wrote a check for all 30,000 and threw it in. Right? You guys are quick. All right. So you can't take it with you, can you? You can't take it with you. But sometimes we live like we can, right? And this is where Jesus has his scalpel pointing at our hearts this morning. We can't take it with us, but so many days we live like we can. Read with me, beginning in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus speaking. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Amen. This morning we have already sung, Lord, I need you. We have already sung, as Slade spoke of, what a wonderful story, how the same song came to be. Who can satisfy my soul like the Lord? So as I said a moment ago, I just want to ask you again, just as we study this text this morning, as we open the Word, prayerfully ask the Lord to do work on your heart. If you're right in this area, ask the Lord to confirm your obedience in this area. If you're wrong in this area, ask the Lord to show you where and how you can correct it. This is a tough subject. We're going to look at three pieces of truth this morning. The first one is this. We just follow Jesus' directions here in verses 19 and 20. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but, or instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So here's the first truth piece. It's this. We must assess the location of our treasure. In other words, we must locate our treasure. We all have treasure. We're all working to store up treasure. The question is, what kind of treasure are we trying to store up? Where is the location of that treasure that we're trying to store up or lay up, as Jesus says? We need to answer this question first. What is treasure? I would say this, anything into which we would put our time, our energy, and our resources into. Anything that we put our time, energy, and resources into is treasure. So, your yard, car, house, hobbies, time, energy, and resources go into all of those things. Your physical health, time, energy, and resources goes into your physical health. Spiritual health, time, energy, and resources goes into your spiritual health. Your relationship with your spouse or your children or your grandchildren or your neighbors or your friends, coworkers, time, energy, and resources either do or don't go into those relationships. Your role, whatever other roles you play, maybe it's where you work or maybe you're a student. The other roles in your life that you play, your time, energy, and resources go into it. We can have any number of things can be our treasure, right? We automatically think of things which can be our treasure. But people can be our treasure. Hobbies can be our treasure. Our job can be our treasure. It's anything that we can pour our time, our energy, and resources into. Do you see that? All right, so Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. So two commands here. The first one is a negative command. Don't do this. Don't lay up treasures here for yourself. So how do we define treasure that's stored here? And I would define it the same way that Jesus does. I don't think we need to go off script here to define this kind of treasure. Notice what he says about treasure on earth. He says, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. How do you know if your treasure is earthly treasure or heavenly treasure? At some point, is it going to lose its value because it's getting old? If the answer to that question is yes, then it's treasure being stored up here on earth. Cars, yards, houses, gardens, careers, hobbies, all of that stuff will at some point lose its value. Maybe your career and your hobby will lose its value because you've lost your health and you just can't do those things anymore. Maybe your yard will lose its value because you don't have the time to keep it up anymore. Or some catastrophic event happens and it's just not what it was. We all know the depreciation of cars, right? The second you drive them off the lot, if they're new, they lose like 25% of the value. Less than that if they're used, but they still lose value the second they make the first rotate of the tires. So earthly treasure is treasure that loses its value. The only thing we know for sure about it is that one day it will be destroyed. It will be worthless. Charlotte and I, and actually James was born in New Orleans. We moved to New Orleans in 2012, and it was 7 years, almost to the day of Katrina, after Katrina, that we moved there. Still neighborhoods when we moved there that were just, the grass and weeds were as tall as the houses. And not just neighborhoods that were like low-income neighborhoods, but you could drive into some of the nicest neighborhoods in New Orleans proper that were waterfront property. And the homes were just dilapidated. The yards were, you could look at them and could tell that they were once beautiful, but on that day, they were just, looked like the wild with a dilapidated building on it. They lost its worth. Nature destroyed them. And for many of the people in New Orleans, they live with that reality resounding in their minds, that what I have here won't last. Because I just got it in 2006, because everything else I had was gone as of September 2005. In reality, that's kind of how we need to live as Christians, with the reality that our stuff, our earthly treasure, is only here for a time. It will outlast its, or its value will decline. It will be one day destroyed. So the only thing we know about it for sure is that it will be destroyed. And then we get to the second command Jesus gives us in verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The positive command. So don't do this, but instead do this. And it is command. Don't miss it. This is an imperative from Jesus. You must do this. So what is heavenly treasure? And we need to be careful trying to define this, because the Bible doesn't specifically define what heavenly treasure is. But it points us to something greater than what we will have here. Chiefly, Jesus. We are His. He is ours. We have treasure in our relationship with Him. One commentator put it like this. He said, we must be careful to define this, but we could say these things about heavenly treasure. We could say that here and now, it is holiness of character. To invest in the Word, invest in spiritual discipline, so that Jesus will work in our lives and make us more like Him, make us holy like Him, make our character holy like His. A life of obedience to Jesus, souls won to Jesus, encouraged brothers and sisters in Christ, nurtured brothers or discipled brothers and sisters in Christ. All those things represent treasure that we can see here and now today, but will resound in eternity. We could use the way we defined earthly treasure to help us define that kind of treasure. If earthly treasure eventually is worthless, heavenly treasure, nurtured brothers and sisters in Christ, encouraged brothers and sisters in Christ, souls won to Christ, holy character, those things will never, ever, ever lose their value. Heavenly treasure. Jesus tells us to store these things up, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. The one thing we know for sure about heavenly treasure is this: it won't lose its value. The one thing we know for sure about earthly treasure is this: it will lose its value, beyond a shadow of a doubt, according to Jesus' words. So here's the thing. We must assess the location of our treasure. But how do we do that? How do I look at my life and figure out where I'm storing up treasure, here or there? How do you look at your life and figure out where your treasure is, here or there? I would say this. There's some questions we can ask. Many more than just these, but I would start here. What occupies your thoughts when you have nothing else to do? That thing or that person or that activity may be your treasure. What occupies your thoughts when you have nothing else to do? What fills your daydream? So what do you dream about? Your bank account, your health, your family, your vehicle, your house, your physical appearance, someone else? If that is what you primarily dream about, like daydream, think about how it could be better, how you could have it, then that is probably your treasure. And one thing I want to be explicitly clear about this morning is this: that material wealth and things that we can possess here on this earth, and things that we can do here on this earth, hobbies, careers, they are all amoral. In other words, they have no moral value. There is nothing good or bad about them. It is simply this: whether we possess them or they possess us. So If something is occupying your thoughts, occupying your daydreams, it's a thing, your house, your car, your bank account, or it's someone, the dream of a relationship, teenagers, with that person. We can think about those things differently. How can I leverage my bank account to lay up treasure in heaven? See, in that case, the bank account still is there. It's just, what are we doing with it? How do we view it? How can I leverage my health that I have today to lay up treasure in heaven? How can I invest into my family to lay up treasure in heaven? So in other words, we're not just spending time with our family, but the time we have with our family is intentional. How can I leverage my home to lay up treasure in heaven? How can I leverage my relationships, my career, my hobby to lay up treasure in heaven? It's not whether we have it, it's what we do with it. It's whether we own it or it owns us. The Bible teaches us to think and act as stewards, not as owners. So I should say, whether we steward it or it owns us. See, we could so easily become slaves to things, slaves to our career, slaves to a relationship. And Jesus is calling us to, yes, in some cases, enjoy those things, but not be possessed by them. So let me ask you a question before we move on. I want you to go ahead and begin to answer it in your heart now. Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? You got a little bit in heaven and a whole bunch here? If the Lord was to really tell you of your thoughts today, would it reveal the fact that really and truly your heart's treasure is all here? Where is your treasure? I want to read it one more time. Verse 20, 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where is your treasure? This brings us to our next point. You with me? This brings us to our next point. So first, we must assess the location of our treasure. We must locate our treasure. So hopefully in your heart, you've already gone, okay, if I'm honest, most of my treasure is here. If I'm honest, I dwell on things that will lose their value one day. Or because of God's grace, I laid that down a long time ago and my treasure is all in heaven. Hopefully you've already begun to answer that question. Maybe it'll take you longer than a day, but hopefully you've begun to answer that question, because this brings us to our next truth piece. We must agree with Jesus about the location of our heart. This is where it gets hard. Look at verse 21, and I'm going to read it with verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. So where is your treasure? Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus lays it down. Remember, he's preaching right here. He is in front of people sitting down. They are gathered around on a hilltop listening to him preach. He doesn't beat around the bush. He says, your treasure is either here or it's in heaven. And wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is. And he gives us two ways to think about it. Read verses 22 through 23. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So he's, remember, this is all the same sermon from chapter 5, and he starts off talking about light. Shine before men so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Chapter 5. And then he gets here and he starts about talking about darkness and light again. And he uses two words. He says, if your eye is healthy. That same Greek word can be translated generous. And in the context of this passage, that is what it means. If your eye is generous, if your eye sees things and thinks about them as if they're not your own, what can you do with them to leverage your treasure in heaven? Not here. If your eye is healthy, is generous, your whole body will be full of what? Light. So in other words, you will be doing what you're supposed to be doing in the kingdom of God in this world, being light in a dark world. Verse 23, but if your eye is bad, same scenario with this word. It can be mean like blanketly bad, but specifically it can mean stingy or greedy. So he says, if your eye is greedy, your whole body will be full of what? Darkness. In other words, you live seeking things of this world, seeking treasure here on this earth. Guess what you won't be? You won't be able to live the life that Jesus is calling you to live, being salt and light in this dark and tasteless world. But if you live generously, as if the stuff you have doesn't belong to you anyway, it's simply there to serve the Lord and to serve people, to point them to Him, then you will be a light in this dark world. He continues to give us a second image. So we see darkness and light. When we live greedy, stingy, and I want to say before we characterize stinginess and greediness like Scrooge, like this old grumpy man won't give away all the ton of money he has. But greed and stinginess can come out of a season of tightness in our lives. So in other words, if we walk through a season where we've been financially tight, we can come out on the other side of that season grasping for every penny. Not because we don't care about others, but because we've turned inward with our care. You see? So when we see and we think stingy, greedy, we shouldn't just think of Scrooge. We should also think of ourselves in situations when things get hard financially. That is a temptation we face, to live where our eye is bad or greedy. You with me? Makes it a little bit harder, doesn't it? So, verse 24, Jesus gives us a second picture of what it looks like when the location of our heart is with our treasure here on earth versus with our treasure in heaven. Verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So Jesus teaches us that heavenly treasure and earthly treasure are mutually exclusive. He teaches us that our hearts cannot be both set on the Lord and set on things of this world. It is one or the other. The picture he gives us is one of a picture of servitude in the first century. There were slaves who had masters, and they were never owned by two people. They had one master, but there were also servants, men who worked for all the money they had, all the food on their table, their housing, from their lord or master. In other words, all of their labor belonged to that person. It couldn't be split like oftentimes we split today. Like we may work a day job, and then to get out of debt or to make a little extra money, we may work another job during our off hours on the weekend or at night. That was not a possibility in the first century world. If you were someone's servant, you were theirs. And so it would have made sense when they heard these words, you cannot serve two masters. They would have been like, nope, you sure can't. I know what you mean there, Jesus. And then he goes on to say, you cannot serve both God and money. You'll hate the one and love the other. You'll serve the one and despise the other. So here's the reality for us. Some of us, when we asked the question this morning, where is my treasure? We may have wanted to say, well, if I'm honest, some of it's in heaven and some of it's here. And this is where Jesus steps on our toes and he says, no. If you got some here, it's all here. Your heart can't be in both places. And this is also where we hear, as believers, we hear the conviction of Jesus. We feel the conviction of Jesus because we know the struggle of living in a world that is fueled by materialism. But we also need to hear the grace of Jesus, which brings us to our final truth piece this morning. So we must agree with Jesus about the location of our heart. So before we get to our third truth piece, let me just ask you, do you agree with Jesus here? You don't have to answer aloud. You can. But do you agree with Jesus here about where your heart is today? If you said your treasure is here, then guess where your heart is, where Jesus says your heart is. Do you agree? And this is where we need to hear also the grace of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Because Jesus has given us an opportunity to respond. And this is our third truth piece this morning. We must respond to the opportunity that Jesus presents here. The reason he says what he says here in these verses. The last part of verse 24. You cannot serve God and money. As he is intentionally presenting an opportunity to the people that are within earshot. And intentionally presenting an opportunity to us today as we read this. We can't serve both God and money. And today, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you and is speaking to you and saying, this is you, your treasure is here, whenever you do a real assessment of the location of your treasure, the X is here on this earth, and so is your heart, guess what the invitation of Jesus is? That doesn't have to continue. And His grace and mercy is there waiting for you. We continue to read through the Gospel of Matthew and we find that at the end, He actually dies for our sins. And that includes our greediness and our stinginess. Not for us to continue in those ways, but for us to repent from those things and by the power of His Holy Spirit, live a new life. So believer, if you're feeling crushed by the Holy Spirit this morning, going, wow, my life is not what Jesus is calling it to be when it comes to my treasure, then the call for you is to lean into His grace this morning. Confess your sins, as 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's good news. It's encouragement. While He sifts things out of us, He also builds us up. If you're here this morning and maybe you have spent your life thus far trying to find meaning and value in things that are ultimately going to lose their value. And you've come this morning going, I need something other than the things I've been seeking. And I don't know if it's Jesus, but I'm going to come. I want to say to you this morning that it is Jesus. Ultimately, our treasure in heaven is Him. And it is to be able to say that we are co-heirs with Him. He is our brother who died sacrificially for us, lived perfectly prior to His death, and then rose victorious over sin and death on our behalf. And you can be in His family. You can have that treasure in heaven simply, not by doing stuff, not by not doing stuff, but by simply surrendering your life to Him as a beggar. Jesus, I need your life, I need your death, I need your resurrection. Save me and help me live in line with your word. For the believers here this morning, we can just praise God for His grace and mercy. Whether you feel conviction this morning and you're like, Jesus, my heart's not where it's supposed to be, you can praise Him because He's going to discipline you not as a master or lord, but as a father who loves you. And so throw yourself at His grace and mercy, at His feet this morning, knowing He will forgive you. If you're here this morning and you're on the other side of the struggle, the Lord gave you victory over it in the past, and you're sitting on this side of it going, I know where my treasure is. I know where it was, but I know where it is today. Then you can just simply praise the Lord for His grace and His mercy on your life this morning, because that is a work of God. Whatever you need to do this morning, whether it's come to Jesus for the first time, surrendering your life to Him, whether it's coming to Jesus to simply confess the sin of storing up treasure here this morning, or whether it's just praising Jesus for the grace and mercy He's already bestowed upon you, or praying for others in our church family as they battle this, however you need to respond, I want to encourage you to follow the Holy Spirit and respond this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You that while we were pitiful, poor, and blind, enslaved by our sin, God, You came and lived perfectly, fulfilling the law for us, dying upon the cross, paying our debt for us, and then victoriously raising from the dead. And today, God, we thank You that to have Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, all it takes from us is surrender and faith. And because of that, Lord, we thank You for our treasure that today is in heaven. God, I pray that you would specifically move hearts today. Hearts of believers that are here today struggling with where their treasure is. I pray that You would move their hearts today, beginning today, from earth to heaven. God, I pray that You would work in the life of the unbeliever today. If they're struggling with whether or not to trust You, they're struggling with whether or not to let go of the things of this world, I pray that You would convict them of their sin and Your righteousness and their deep, eternal need for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God, I pray that You would just make that obvious to them and that they would surrender their life to You. God, we pray that whatever happens today, here, and as we leave here today, that it would ultimately glorify Your name. God, we thank You for how You love us as our Heavenly Father, and we praise the name of Jesus this morning. In the holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's altar.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.